Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
We're so very grateful indeed for the presence of each one this morning. We have a number who are visiting with us, and in particular, we'd like to recognize you as our honored guest and tell you that we're happy you've chosen to be with us. And I encourage the members of the congregation to seek out our visitors and greet them personally. This will be an abbreviated lesson this morning in view of the budget presentation. The elders of this congregation feel very strongly that we need additional deacons to help in the task at hand. And certainly I concur with them, and thus they ask that I preach two lessons concerning the work of deacons, their qualifications, and things of that nature. And last Lord's Day morning, we presented the first study. And a number of you were going to the Fried Hartman lectureships. And for your benefit, I would simply like to say that the one main thing that we stressed in that lesson was the definition of the Greek word diakonos, which is translated in the New Testament by the word servant or by the word minister in most instances. In the specific sense, translated by the word deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. We stress the fact that that word means servant, and that's what a deacon is. Now, in one sense, all of us are servants of Christ. Every single one of us who is a Christian present this morning needs to understand full well we are servants of our Lord. We belong to Him. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And every one of us has a responsibility of serving the Lord. But very obviously so, in reading the context in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, there is a sense in which special servants are to be selected and appointed by the congregation to serve under the oversight of the elders of the church in specific tasks assigned to them. So this morning we want to impress upon the minds of each one gathered the importance of that work that a deacon has to do. Keep in mind, we're talking about a special servant. We're all servants, but in a specially designated way, servants which have been selected to serve under the oversight of the elders. And I've chosen two passages of Scripture to introduce the idea to you. And if you have your Bible with you, we would appreciate so very much your opening it up to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, chapter 18 of the book of Exodus. Please know that in this context that we're going to be examining, first of all in our study, that it is not talking about deacons, but the principle is involved that we wish to bring to your attention in the morning's lesson. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage into the wilderness. And they had come to the Mount of God and encamped there. And when Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, learned of the immediate presence of the children of Israel, he took his daughter, the wife of Moses, Zipporah, and their children, and went to the wilderness to meet with Moses. And when he arrived there, they exchanged niceties, as you might say. And it came to pass on the morrow, verse 13, if you'd look at verse 13 of Exodus 18, that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning even unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And then he made a suggestion down in verses 17 and 18. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that you do is not good. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And then he proceeded to tell Moses that he felt it would be expedient to divide the people into numbers and have various ones take the burden off of Moses by acting in capacity as the judges of these different groups selected. Now, we've brought that to your attention to apply to the principle involved in the selection of deacons to serve in the church. The elders of the Lord's church have a tremendous task. There's really no way that I could overemphasize the importance of what the elders do. They are the spiritual shepherds of the congregation. They also are designated as the bishops of the congregation, the overseers. And they have the responsibility of watching in behalf of the souls under their oversight. We presently have four men serving as elders in this congregation. I think they do a magnificent job, spending many long hours doing their very best to serve as shepherds of this congregation. They recognize that they just cannot do all of the tasks that are involved in the work of this congregation. Therefore, we do have 17 men serving as deacons in the congregation presently. But as we expect to grow over the weeks and months and years to come, the elders deem that it is needful that additional deacons be appointed. And they realize that we have some very definitely qualified men in the congregation who could serve in that capacity, the principle being to alleviate them of tasks that need to be done, but that they just don't have time to do. It's not their work to do that kind of a task. Their work is the spiritual oversight of the congregation. As such, who shall give an account? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. So the principle that was introduced by Jethro to Moses here, I want to carry on over to the New Testament scriptures. When Jethro arrived and saw what Moses was doing, that he was standing before the people from the morning until the night, trying to judge every case that was brought before him, the people being exhausted, standing in line, as it were, waiting for their case to come before Moses. Moses exhausted from all the energy expended in trying to be a good judge of all the people. Jethro said, Moses, that's not the way to handle this matter. You need to divide the people into certain groups and then appoint others to do the very same thing that you're doing, and then any hard cases could be brought before you. And I think that's a principle that's laid down there that I want you to retain in your minds as you now take your New Testament and turn with me to the scripture found in Acts chapter 6 that Brother Andy Powell read for our hearing a few moments ago. And let's look at the principle that is laid down in Acts 6. And many scholars feel that these seven selected in Acts 6 indeed were the first deacons in the church, even though the word was not translated by the official designation deacons there. Yet the same thought is expressed inasmuch as we're talking about an avenue of service to be rendered. Let's read again this passage, and I'm reading from the American Standard Translation of the New Testament. Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, so please note now that as the number of the disciples multiplied, the work became more and more heavy. There arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, whatever may have been involved, I do not know, because this is all the scriptures say. But in seeing to the needs of these widows, they felt that their widows were being neglected from day to day. So the 12, reference to the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them, as we would phrase it, the whole church came together, and said to them, it is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Now, these apostles realized that they had a spiritual work to do within the framework of the church in the city of Jerusalem. They knew that they had a momentous task on hand, and especially so as the number of the disciples increased. And therefore, they said, it is not fitting that we should devote ourselves and our time to this menial task when there are more serious matters for our attention. Look ye out therefore. Now the word therefore means in view of what he had set forth. In view of the fact the church was growing, in view of the fact the multitude of the disciples were increasing, in view of the fact that there were these widows that felt neglected and that needed attention, the apostles were saying, in view of all of this, brethren, you look out from among you seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, in essence, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what the work of the deacons is. They're special servants to be appointed by those who are the spiritual overseers to particular affairs or businesses that need attention. Notice verse 4. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the Word. This was their main task. And so it is from Ephesians chapter 4. We know that God has set certain ones in the church for certain responsibilities. You have your evangelists or preachers of the gospel. Eddie Parker, myself, Bob Stapleton work in that area of service here at Brown Trail. Then those who are the elders of the congregation, the overseers of the flock, the ones who have the responsibility to watch in behalf of souls, do just that as they pastor the flock, see to it that the flock is properly fed and tended to and cared for. Then servants chosen out of the servants of, since all of us are servants, but specifically men who meet certain qualifications laid down by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And if you want to understand these as servants, you would have three additional qualifications given in the context of Acts chapter 6. Men of good report, full of the Spirit, and with wisdom, to be appointed over these tasks that the elders have no business being involved in, because they have another area of responsibility. So in a nutshell, that's what a deacon is designed for. That's what a deacon is supposed to do, accept the assignment given by the spiritual overseers that they might devote their time to the spiritual aspect of the church, while these men serve in these capacities that need attention. We're not minimizing or diminishing the importance of the day-to-day tasks that need attention. For an example, in a congregation such as this, you certainly have need of men who can devote themselves to caring for the financial aspect. And Brother Dean Mannon is one of our present deacons and has put in a lot of time in this area of service. That's just one example of what we're talking about. In a congregation the size of this congregation, you have a rather large a building here in which we meet for worship and for Bible study. It needs attention. And we need men that will serve in that capacity to see to it that these matters are cared for. For another example, the fact that every sermon that is preached from this pulpit is filmed and recorded. And that's good for the cause of Christ, that we have on record everything that is spoken from this pulpit. So if anything ever did come up that was amiss, why, the elders would have access. Here's exactly what was said. Here's the manner in which it was said. Well, that requires effort on the part of some to take care of that. And right now, Brother Derek Baker is doing a good job, along with Tom Surratt, in taking care of that matter. But there are many, many tasks. I didn't intend to touch on all of them. I gave you those just as examples of work that needs to be done that the elders can't do, don't have the time to do, and therefore they need men who meet those God-given qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3 and in Acts chapter 6 who will willingly take care of those particular tasks. And thankfully, we have a group of men, goodly number, that are able and willing to do things of this nature. And so the elders feel like we need more deacons, and that's what these last two lessons have been all about, is to acquaint you not only with their qualifications, but give you an idea of the areas of service wherein they serve. As I mentioned, we now have 17 men serving in that capacity. The elders feel that we need additional men. We're not given a particular number, and I don't believe that they set a particular number. They want you to look out from among yourselves, men that meet these qualifications, and make your suggestions. And then these suggestions will be reviewed, and men will be selected then to serve as deacons in this congregation in addition to the ones we have. Now, the elders also asked me to do one other thing, which I was pleased to do, and that was to write up a paper, such as I hold in my hand, which gives not only the men who are presently serving, in case you don't know who they are, but also the qualifications of the deacons and comments concerning those qualifications so that we can all understand, and comments concerning what the work is all about so that you will understand that. And then over on the last page, which you can tear away from your packet of sheets, is a place for you to make your suggestions as to the ones you think would be good for the present selection to take place, and turn those in to the elders of this congregation next Lord's Day. So you'll have a week to think about it, a week to pray about it, and give a lot of thought to it, and then write down any number that you choose to write down. There's no limitation on it. And yet, common sense would tell you that we don't need just an overly great number, but we do need anywhere from 1 to 12, perhaps, new additional deacons selected. So write down as many as you deem wise in your own mind as suggestions. Now, the elders do want you to understand that if you make suggestions that are not eventually appointed as deacons, don't be hurt at that, because what they plan to do is take the consensus of the thoughts of this congregation and then go through these and talk to these men and see who are willing to serve and the number that they consider wise to appoint to particular tasks. They're going to have to give a lot of thought to the specific works that they have in mind to do, and you can assist them in doing that. And they feel, and I feel, that this is about as good a way as you could have. Now, these sheets you will find as you leave this morning, where we generally pick up the announcement sheet. You'll find these in those little containers as you go out the doors to the left and right of myself, or out the front doors left or right. If you go out the foyer, you'll find them on the table. They want each member to take one of these sheets, to read it over, to think about it, to reflect upon all that is said here, and then to tear off the last sheet, write down the names of the ones you think would serve well, and submit those to the elders by next Lord's Day. Now, we've made it about as clear as I know how to make it. There's not a lot in the New Testament concerning deacons, but there is sufficient evidence in 1 Timothy 3 and Philippians 1 verse 1 to know that such existed in the early New Testament church, and we've given you the best understanding that I know to give from Exodus 18 and from Acts chapter 6, that they're to do those works that the elders don't have the time to give attention to, and thus alleviate the elders from those responsibilities so that they might concentrate on the work of overseeing the flock and making sure the flock is well fed and tended to. So that's the whole thing in a nutshell. We hope that you will cooperate with the elders with getting this job done, and soon we will be able then to appoint additional deacons. We know that there could be someone present this morning of a responsible age and mind that has never yet obeyed the gospel. Ordinarily, we devote our time to the preaching of the good news of salvation in Christ, as you well know if you attend here any at all. Christ and Him crucified, the answer to man's spiritual needs, that He shed His very precious blood on the cross to make it possible for you to be washed clean from sin and to be saved from sin and its consequences. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, turn away from sin and repentance, and confess that faith before your fellow man, and then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And that's just the beginning of your Christian service. From that point forward, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Continue to feast on His Word. Continue to exercise yourself in living a righteous, dedicated life, being faithful even unto death, that heaven might be your home.